Okay, and this work was done with Songhei in Bell Lab, and recently my student Zhongren Shen joined the project, and part of the result I'm going to talk about has been published recently. So here's the outline of the talk. First, I will introduce our theoretical framework to understand recently observed the metal insulator transition at B equals zero, and I will list a few experiments and talk about how we understand those experiments and make some predictions from our theoretical model, and at the end I will talk about possible new physics coming out from our proposal. So this is our basic framework. What we assume is that at the low enough electron density in 2D disordered 2D system, the electron can phase separate into high density region and low density region. At the end, close to the end of my talk, I will show some recent calculation to justify this possible phase separation. And the high density phase we call the liquid phase, and the low density phase we call the gas, but it's not really mean, it does not mean the kinetic energy dominates, it just means that there is low density. And really in the presence of disorder, the gas, so-called gas phase, more looks like glass phase. What we are seeing is that this observed metal insulator transition could be the percolation transition of the liquid phase. Liquid phase has a high conductivity than the gas phase. And more importantly, that's the so-called cohesive energy between the liquid and the gas phase. That is the energy cost to move one electron from the liquid phase to the gas phase. So roughly speaking, this cohesive energy can be read from the experiment result. Roughly speaking, it's a few Kelvin, roughly about 3 Kelvin. That means when the temperature is above this cohesive energy, the system becomes homogeneous. And in that case, the resistivity has very weak temperature dependence. Similar energy scale has also been seen in the in-plane magnetic field experiment. So what we propose is that basically there's a gas phase at low density and a liquid phase at high density. And there's a two-phase coexist region, and this is this region where the experiment is done. So now let's use this basic picture. Oh, then one thing come up. So what we are talking about is the classical percolation transition. It happens at a zero temperature, and in the real system, the quantum system, why we according to a previous calculation, there will be no quantum percolation transition. So why we see this classical transition? The basic idea here is that in a real sample at a finite temperature, and also happens at always have phase breaking mechanism. For example, electron photon interaction, electron interaction. So those has effect on this percolation transition. For instance, what we are seeing is that this alpha inverse basically is a measure of quantumness. For instance, it's the coupling constant in electron-photon interaction. At a zero alpha inverse and at a zero magnetic field, we have this classical percolation transition at certain density, Nc. And if our system is close enough to this critical point, transition point, we will see the effect. So the physics we are talking about here is very close to the quantum phase transition, except this is the classical T equals zero critical point. So now use this basic framework. Let's see how do we understand the experiment. So let me first talk about the main experiment, the temperature dependence of resistivity. On the insulator side, it's well known, it's the basically Coulomb gap behavior. And the metal side, at very low temperature, the previous results show it has this expansion behavior. And Sergey today, this morning, mentioned that this may not be exactly describe the temperature dependence. However, if you look at the data, there's certainly very strong temperature dependence. That's within probably one Kelvin, the temperature, the resistivity increased by one order. So the I think if we include the weak temperature dependence in rho zero and rho one, it can describe the experiment situation. Certainly, there's a strong temperature dependence described by this exponential formula. Now let's see how do we understand this this temperature dependence. So on the metal side, we have these two fluids, this liquid and the what I call the gas, and the liquid has a high conductivity. So now if the temperature is much smaller than this cohesive energy, it's of the order of a few Kelvin, then the fraction of the electron in the gas phase has this exponential dependence. And use this two free model, one can easily see that the resistivity has this expansion dependence. So in this approach, one only needs that the conductivity for the gas phase is larger than the conductivity for the gas phase is much smaller than the conductivity for the liquid phase in order to see this type of temperature dependence. Now let's look at the scaling and the so-called duality. The scaling basically is that if you look at the resistivity as a function of temperature and density, it is a combined function of reduced density and temperature. And from experiment in the silicon MOSFET, this exponent is between 1.2 to 1.6. And the duality in the mathematical expression basically means that if you multiply the resistivity on both sides of the critical resistivity, it's roughly is a constant. So remember in our picture, this is there's this parameter alpha, which measures the quantumness, it's coupling constant. So, which is coupling constant breaking phase coherence. So, in a real system, the alpha is given. And let's note that the correlation length only diverges when alpha inverse approaches zero. So, if we assume the dominant energy scale is the Coulomb interaction, and the resistivity as function of temperature and density has to be a temperature over this energy scale. From here, one can get this experiment observe the density and temperature dependence. And also this exponent is known from classical percolation theory at the two dimension, which is roughly 1.3 and close to the experiment findings. Now, what about the duality? So, in our theory, since for given alpha, there's no divergence. So, the resistivity has to be the analytic function in terms of this it's a parameter. So, if we just extend this resistivity. And if we just expand this resistivity and look at this product of this resistivity at the two sides of the critical density, then the linear term vanishes and left us with the second order term. So we believe this is what's been seen in the experiment. It's just simply the analytic function of this resistivity. If you look at the experiment curve, roughly the duality basically means that in the parameter I just shown, it's within less than 0.1. Okay, so the square of this basically is 0.01. So this, we believe it's just the analytic property of this resistivity, the so-called duality. And now that's the second, the third experiment. Let me probably just mention. The third experiment fact is the electric field dependence of the resistivity. What is found is that the nonlinear RV happens at a very low electric field. Okay. So there are two mechanisms we understand this nonlinear RV for homogeneous system. The first is that if you have an electric field, and if you associate multiply by relevant length scale, if that is larger than your temperature, you see a nonlinear RV behavior. So for a reasonable length scale, what we found is that this energy scale is 0.3 millikelvin. It's much smaller than the temperature where the observed nonlinear RV. So from this mechanism, we are not expecting to see a nonlinear RV behavior. The second possible mechanism for nonlinear RV is dual heating. So basically, the electric field raises the effective temperature of electrons. So there are papers from Indiana group experiment results that the effective electron temperature goes as the electric field to the 0.5 or 0.4. Power law. And from this, we can estimate what is the effective electron temperature. It's about 100 millikelvin, still less than the temperature the experiment was done. Another thing against this dual heating mechanism is that if this dual heating only depends on the electric field, so if you look at the nonlinear RV experiment result of this nonlinear RV, if you for a given electric field, for instance, for given electric field, if you increase the density of the electron, this is non-monotonic. It has nonlinear RV, and then sort of linear at this region, and become nonlinear again. So this, again, it's not consistent with the dual heating mechanism. So from this nonlinear RV, basically we conclude that it might be possible that the system is intrinsically inhomogeneous. This is the one reason we believe, experiment evidence that we believe that the system has two phases. Another experiment result is the electric field scaling result. This here we basically use the argument very similar to the quantum phase transition argument, except in our case there's no dynamic exponent. So the exponent we get is just twice the temperature scaling, always twice the temperature scaling exponent. Okay, and again, this is consistent with the exponent reported in the silicon MOSFET. So how about the parallel field dependence, implant magnetic field dependence? So in our model, that these two phases, one is we call the gas phase, basically to localize the electrons, and it has very weak correlation among these electrons. So if you put a parallel magnetic field, the first effect is basically line up these spins in this gas phase, okay? Because there's very little correlation between these electrons. So the first effect of this parallel field is to reduce the cohesive energy of the liquid. Okay, so we again use this two fluid model. We have this resistivity dependence, and when the field is very large, then there's no the system becomes homogeneous. Again, if the parallel field is very large, then there's no strong magnetic field dependence. So from our model, basically, we looks like the log of the resistivity goes as a function of a parallel field. If we make a simple assumption, it's linear here and flat here. With this assumption, one can get three different magnetic field regime. At high magnetic field, basically it's the resistivity goes like the curve C. See the insulated behavior. At the intermediate inclined magnetic field, it first goes down and reach a minimum and goes up. At a very small inclined magnetic field, it always goes down monotonically. Okay, so here I just list a few possible experiments to direct probe whether our model is correct. The first is if possible, if one can use a scanning technique to direct a probe in homogeneity of the electron density. The second is that in our theory, if system has valid degeneracy, it has the valid plays the same role as the spin. So if we can split the valid degeneracy using the string field, it will have the similar effect as the inclined magnetic field. The third is that we propose there's this gas to liquid transition. So maybe it's possible to use light scattering to observe the critical oppositions. Now, let's see what is the new physics contained in our proposal. The first new physics is that we propose a new kind of a phase transition. The typical classical phase transition is driven by temperature, has Tc not equal to zero. And the quantum phase transition, which is happens at a zero temperature, driven by other parameters in the system, like disorder and so on. What do we propose? Is sort of like a quantum phase transition happens at zero, but it's a classical progression transition, and we have to understand the temperature and the quantum effect. For instance, one can study a model like a model contains has a quantum progression like the Hopping model, the Hopping parameter equals zero and one, and introduce the phase breaking length to see what is the whether at certain phase breaking length, the model will show the classical progression transition. So another thing is that what we propose is that if the electron density is low, there always a new phase, droplet, we call the droplet phase. We know at a high density it's electron gas, at a very low density it's a weaker crystal. What we propose is that it's possible to have a droplet phase in between. So this is supported by some simple calculation. For instance, we can look at a simple system. Look at we have a disk of electrons with the same density of a uniform positive charge. Now what happens is that if we shrink the electron slightly to see whether it will gain energy or not. Remember, the ground state energy of a uniform electron system goes like this in terms of RS. Okay, there's a minimum somewhere. That means that if the density RS is larger than this, it may once go to the minimum. Okay, there may be an energy gain. So we can do a very simple mind calculation. Just look at the limit case. Suppose our original disk is of radius B, that is shrinked A, and the A and B are very close. The ratio of this is close to 1. Now if we look at the energy change, the total energy change has this interaction energy, total energy change and the charging energy part. And at a very high RS value, for the cooling interaction system, we have this behavior. Basically, the energy change is proportional to 1 minus gamma. Remember, gamma is approach 1. And the charging energy will have this form, 1 minus gamma squared times log 1 minus gamma. So in this case, we can see when this ratio is approached to 1, the interaction energy is always dominate. That means the system will be more stable to shrink slightly. But this is only an argument, and maybe the value IS coming out from the real calculation could be far too large. For instance, larger than 37, so weaker crystal may be more stable then. So in order to address this question, we have done some more realistic calculation. For instance, take the silicon MOSFET system and look at the real interactions in the silicon MOSFET. Because of the metal surface, there will be infinite number of image planes. Okay, so if the insulator distance is much larger than the two electron separation, then we are in the Coulomb interaction regime. On the opposite limit, we are in the dipole. We have a dipole interaction. This is the Fourier transform of this interaction. So with this interaction, we can calculate the total energy. What we did is the following this evaluation method. I don't have time to go through the detail of this method. Basically, this is the method these people did for the Coulomb interaction. What they found is that if you compare with their calculation with the better result of separate result, it's within 10%. What we did is use their evaluation method and use our realistic interaction for silicon MOSFET. This is the energy, ground state energy versus IS. Indeed, it shows the minimum for large separation D. D is the insulator, the spacing between silicon and the metal surface. Then we have to take into account the disorder effect. What we did is that you assume that around a local minimum of disorder potential, that's a part of, it is the parabolic form from here, and we can estimate what is the disorder potential. Anyway, let me just show you the result. So this plot shows the D, which is the separation between silicon and the metal, is the this and versus ice, and the different curve corresponds to different strengths of disorder. For given strength of disorder, on the right hand side means that there's a phase separation. On the left side is the it's a homogeneous phase. So this calculation shows that indeed it's possible in the low density limit, 2D electron system may have a phase separation. So this is for the silicon MOSFET. We can do the similar calculation for the screening, the Coulomb interaction. Basically, lambda, the screening length, play the role of this D in this MOSFET system. But if we do the calculation for the pure Coulomb interaction, what we found that there will be a phase separation. What we plot here is the B minus A. B is the original size of the disk. A is supposed to shrink to A. And what we found is that for any, this is calculation for IS roughly equal 10. So this, what we found is that this separation, if we shrink distance is roughly the same as the average separation for electron. That means really in the pure Coulomb interaction case, it never really phase separate. Okay, maybe I'll stop here.
Critical RS should be very strongly dependent on the distance between two dimensional gas and the gate. Is it so?
He's saying the critical RS should very strongly depend on the distance between the silicon and the metal. So basically, the critical RS. What we've shown here is basically. So basically for, this is, let's see, this is for different disorder, okay? So if for given disorder, you can see that's the dependence of this basic separated.
Experimentally, it's not. It doesn't matter. We change distance to the gate by a factor of 6.
And okay, so this calculation, we right now we only did the simplest possible calculation. Assume that the droplet size is much larger than D. We only look at this limit. We haven't looked at the real situation. Could be that droplet size is of order of the D.
Yeah, because an experiment is always up of the situation. This is the simulation
So this is not a distance of electron. This is the what we assume. You form this phase separate. You have a high density regime. Then if you assume the regime is a disk, what this B is the radius of that disk. It's not the average distance between two electrons.
But anyway, it should be strongly dependent. Your result.
Your result should be strongly dependent on D.
Yes. In this regime.
In this regime. And the experiments don't seem to show that. Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure I understand. Are you predicting? Sorry, the alarm is on. What exactly are you predicting for the zero temperature phase?
Well, it's a zero temperature phase. It's a.
I mean, do you have a prediction that it's metallic?
No, I don't have a prediction. The point that we try to make is that in order to see what the experiments see, you don't have to load the zero temperature phase. For instance, like the 2-3 model we use, what you only need to know is that high density phase has higher conductivity than the gas phase. You don't need to know the zero temperature phase in order to basically repeat what the experiment sees.
That's right.
Well, I can.
Okay, so the question is, you're calculating the conductivity of these two fluids as if they're connected in parallel. So I guess the question is, why do you do that?
Let's see.
How many electrons get from one liquid part to the rest?
I just add up the.
Yeah, the question is why.
So what
why
should be the.
In this fashion?
What should be the correct way?
Well, certainly, ENM 101, and so this is one possibility. there's another possibility.
Beyond the coverage, we don't have any more time, so I think we should thank Mr. Z again.